Our passage this afternoon is James chapter 2 and verse 14. One verse we're going to be looking at, James chapter 2, verse 14. It's a passage that has great practical importance in today's world when many profess salvation, and yet it's a day with increasing immorality, a day when a large percentage of Americans claim to be born again. Many times there's claims that revival is about to break out, and yet our nation is in its worst condition ever. There's something called easy believism, but no change in people's daily lives. And James, here in chapter 2, as we've seen in verses 1 through 13, has urged his readers not to have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with partiality. Now he further delineates this faith and says this in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Too many churches are singing, standing on the promises, when they are in reality just sitting on the premises. Has you ever heard that said before? Have you ever heard this, that someone has said that every church is made up of willing workers, 10% are willing to do the work and the other 90% are willing to let them? Another said, too many have learned that heaven will be a place of rest and are getting all practiced up for it. Faith is the battery, and now I've got to revert to a commercial in the Energizer Bunny, just for way of illustration. You take your brand of battery all you want, but unless that battery energizes and produces action, that battery is all talk and no action. Folks, what is the test of a good battery? Whether it works. Whether it gives energy. And the test of your Christian faith is whether it works. Much of Christendom is dead batteries. Action does not prove that there is the right faith. But the right faith will have action. Think about it. Most religions teach that salvation is by works. And some believe that what James is here teaching is opposed to what the Apostle Paul teaches. They think that Paul emphasizes works, not works, to the exclusion of works in all faith. Paul does not. Some think that James teaches all works to the exclusion of faith, which is not true. Paul just emphasizes that works do not precede faith, and James stresses that works follow faith. In other words, right faith will have action. By way of illustration, go with me to Luke chapter 7. Follow as I read this incident in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ in the house of Simon the Pharisee. It starts this way in Luke 7, 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Therefore she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Schofield has a good note here that has to do with this illustration. Let me read the note. It's just one sentence or so. When Jesus would justify the woman in the eyes of Simon, he points to her works. For only through her works could Simon see the proof of her faith. But when he would send the woman away in peace, he points to her faith, not to her works. How are we doing in our Christian religion? I want you to see that faith is evidenced by action. And if there is no action, if there are no works, there is no faith. And that's exactly what James is wanting you to see. So I ask this in the title of this message, what's the use? In other words, what's the use of your faith? James puts it this way, what doth it profit? It's a question he repeats again in verse 16. In other words, what is the benefit? In today's language, we would say, what's the use? What is the use? I'm utilitarian. I like things that have use to them. Okay, I don't mind pictures in the house. I don't mind pillows on the couches. I don't mind. But sometimes I think, what's the use? And it's all for looks. Now, don't get me wrong. I appreciate the nest that my wife has built and made and tendered. But sometimes 25 pillows on the bed that are all decorative don't make, she doesn't have 25, but we joke about it. And it's all, what's the use of all those pillows? Every morning when you make the bed, you got to put all those pillows on the bed. Every night, you got to take them all off. That's men. We're very, what's the use? That's not to say that she's not utilitarian. She loves to go through all the things in the house and take out what's not being used. And so that's utilitarian. But we've got to ask ourselves about our faith, what's the use? How's it being used? Here's the claim in James 2:14. Here's the claim. Though a man say he hath faith, the claim is only spoken. It is verbal, and it's in the present tense. So it's a claim that he constantly makes. I've got faith. I'm a believer. He's sincere. But the claim is also subjective. Not objective, but subjective, based upon emotional, an internal emotion and not outward observation. You have to believe what he's saying because you don't see it. So there's the claim. But the condition, and have not works. So though a man say he hath faith, but does not have works, the condition is there's no works. The claim is that there's faith. And the condition is not similar to what is claimed. What is repeatedly claimed is not similar to the condition, which is also in the present tense. He is not having any works. There's no change in conduct. What is said and what is done disagree. The claim is nothing but a naked profession. It reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So much of Christendom is what we profess with our mouth, but there's no visible result to it. One of the commentators quotes another commentary that says, the people who least live their creeds are not seldom the people who shout loudest about them. The paralysis which affects the arms does not in these cases interfere with the tongue. In other words, the tongue needs to be paralyzed, but not the arms. The arms need to be busy and do what the tongue is saying and claiming. So the condition is not similar. The condition is not seen. It's not observable. People with a dead faith have to substitute words for works. You've always heard it this way. He's all talk, but no walk. He's all talk. Well, here's the conclusion. We've seen the claim. We've seen the condition. Very simple outline. What's the conclusion, or what's the climax? What's the last question asked in verse 14? Can faith save him? You say, wait a second. Faith always saves. But what kind of a faith is this, remember? What's the condition? No works. Literally, can the faith I was just talking about, can that faith save him? A faith without works? And the answer is no. A faith without works is not a faith that saves. James is here not opening this passage from 14 to 24, those verses, with a declaration, but he's opening with a question to provoke thought. And the question is not academic. It's a very sobering question. He's talking about, can that faith save? He's talking about salvation. He's talking about hellfire, separation from God. He's talking about being condemned for eternity. Can that kind of a faith that has no works save you? And it can't. It's only a faith that's spoken, not put into action. A man says that he has a job. That's his claim, as an illustration. But he never works. That's the condition. Will he get paid? That's the question. If a man says he has faith, the natural result is that he goes to work. That is expected. But the expected or the implied answer to the question at the end of verse 14 is no. You supply the word. James has supplied the question. God is giving you the question, can that faith save you? And the answer is no. That kind of a faith is not a saving faith. A faith that does not profit you, does not save you. Profession without performance is useless. It is profitless. So, what does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can that faith save him? That's the confrontation to an actionless faith. Next time, Lord willing, we're going to look at the illustration of an actionless faith. Let's just read those verses as we close. It's verses 15 and 16. If a brother, here's the illustration, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. And here's that question asked as it was in 14. What doth it profit? Lord, I pray that we would not only speak of our faith, and we should, but there would be a demonstration of that faith for others to see. May it not just be what we say, but what others see. May it be a profitable faith. Especially at this time of year, as we look, people are talking about the birth of Christ. May we be able, by our works and what we do as a result of our salvation, proclaiming the gospel, Lord, see people saved. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Dave, come lead us in our